Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It is great to be with you. And I have some exciting news for all of you folks in Bartlesville and Salem, Oregon, and I don't know, Morehead City, North Carolina, Portland, Maine, all of our great affiliates, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. The phones have been restored, and we're very excited about that. And I know many of you have been wanting to weigh in over the past couple of days, and you're finally going to have the opportunity. Phone lines back up and running here at the Todd Starnes Radio Show at our Southern Command, which is our flagship radio station, KWAM in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. So there is there's a lot of stuff going down at the border, the northern, not the southern border, but the northern border. And it's a very exciting thing to see happen. Right now, according to many local news reports out of Detroit, there are thousands and thousands of truckers and other motorists that are stuck in traffic. They cannot get across the border. And the reason they cannot get across the border is because on the other side, you have thousands of truckers and farmers and cowboys that are blocking the border crossing. And I think this is a great thing. I know it's an inconvenience if you're in Detroit and you're trying to get across the border. I get it. But you know what? That's okay. Because the Canadian people, they've seen freedom in action south of their border, and they want that for themselves. They want that in their country. And right now, they see their freedoms under attack. They see that the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, the acting thespian, and we don't judge here on this program, but Justin Trudeau has been governing as a tyrant, as a dictator. And at this very moment, we understand the capital city of Ottawa is still occupied by hundreds and hundreds of truck drivers and other freedom-loving Canadians. And I think it's a great thing. And I suspect that what's going to happen very soon in Canada is that things are going to change. And the same thing is happening here on this side of the border. Not so much because we have seen these massive protests here. We have not. I think we should, but we have not. But there's something else brewing on this side of the border. On this side of the border, the Democrats are coming to the frightening realization that they are about to be annihilated in the midterm elections. The polling data that the Democrats are seeing right now has them terrified. They know that the jig is up. And they see this polling data and they realize that all of these mask mandates, all of these efforts to shut down our businesses, our communities, and to lock people inside their homes, it's failed. It's backfired. And people are enraged. And that's why over the past, I don't know, 24, 48 hours, we have seen at least four states run by Democrats announce they are pulling back on the mask mandates. This has nothing to do with directives coming out of the CDC. This has nothing to do with data coming out of Dr. Anthony Fauci, the patron saint of Wuhan's office. This has everything to do with political polling. nothing to do with medical data. It has everything to do with political data. Once again, proving that at the end of the day, this was not about public safety. This was about tyranny. This was about a political calculation. And I suspect when it's all said and done, we're going to realize, we're going to look back on this time in American history as truly a time of choosing, as Ronald Reagan once so beautifully said. And the question is, what do we choose at the end of the day? Who do we choose at the end of the day? That question is yet to be resolved. Part of the answer will happen in the midterm elections. The other part will happen in 2024. Now, between now and 2024, we're going to be going through a lot of rough territory. I've been watching the sequel to it's really the prequel to Yellowstone, 1883. I love that show. And it tells the story of a bunch of pioneers as they're making their way across the Indian territories to Oregon. And it is a long and arduous journey, fraught with all sorts of death and destruction, moments of happiness and joy, but it is a dangerous journey. And we're assuming they eventually get to Montana, and which is where we have the present-day Yellowstone. But there are a lot of similarities, a lot of parallels to that storyline and what's happening in our country right now. You're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. But we're going through a really difficult time in our nation right now. And it's going to be up to all of us, to get out there and get engaged in the process. You say, how do I do that? Well, I was listening to the morning show over at KWAM. Tim Van Horn is the morning show host, our chief fill-in here on this program. He was interviewing a state leader, and the state leader said, hey, we need you Republicans, we need you conservatives to volunteer to be poll watchers. There are some very practical things that we can do to get out there and make sure the Democrats don't steal the vote again. So there are lots of things that you and I can do. So there is something happening on this side of the border, too. And it may very well take a moment where we have every truck driver in America, every farmer, every cowboy march to Washington, D.C. Maybe we circle the beltway and honk our horns. You know, they've outlawed horn honking in Ottawa, Canada. So you know what they did? This is a very exciting thing. When word came down that the police, the government, had outlawed the honking of horns in Ottawa, guess what happened? The truckers started honking their horns. That's what we need to be doing, ladies and gentlemen. Open defiance of these nutso laws. So I say good for you, Canadian people. I know I make fun of your country a lot, but you know what? You did good here. And we stand alongside you. But it's tough. It's tough north of the border. And we're going to have our own fight here on this side. And I hope, and I pray that there are many other freedom fighters who are willing to stand up and say, you know what, we're in this. We're in it to save our country. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Yesterday, President Trump on this program, and if you missed the interview, I would encourage you to go and listen to it. You can download the podcast over on the website. But it really was there was an interesting moment in that interview when I asked the president whether or not he felt betrayed by Mike Pence and Chris Christie. So I want to go back and we're going to play some audio here. This is Mike Pence just a few days ago speaking at the Federalist Society.
President Trump is wrong. I had no right to overturn the election. The presidency belongs to the American people and the American people alone. And frankly, there is no idea more un-American than the notion that any one person could choose the American president. Under the Constitution, I had no right to change the outcome of our election.
Now, I asked the president if he felt like Mike Pence had betrayed him, and the president, he did not go there. And if he wanted to go there, he would have gone there. I teed up the question, and he decided to take a pass. So for whatever Mike Pence said, the president is, if he is upset at Mike Pence, if he believes that Mike Pence has turned his back on him, he's not showing those cards just yet. And we're going to get to more of this. We're going to get to more of this after the break. We're also opening up the phone lines, and we're so excited to be able to take your calls once again. We kind of missed you guys around here. I know Grace Baker did. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like walking your dog in public without putting them on a leash. Most of the time, you're probably going to be okay, but what if one day your dog decides to run away or gets dognapped? Better be careful, folks, especially when it's as simple as using ExpressVPN. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, in cafes, hotels, airports, your online data is not secure. Any hacker on the same network can gain access and steal your personal data. But ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. ExpressVPN works on all your devices, phone, laptop, tablet, even on your smart TV. And it's super easy to use. Just fire up the app and click one button to get protected. You say, Todd, how good is ExpressVPN? Folks, it's great. So great that I use ExpressVPN to protect my internet access. All you need to do to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free, go to expressvpn.com/starnes. All right, welcome back, everybody. Hope you're doing good today. It's a beautiful day here in Memphis, finally above freezing. Hey, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Man, Grace Baker, I love saying that. Have you missed everybody, Grace? I know you kind of got a little misty when I saw Carlotta's name pop up.
Oh, yeah. Always, I mean, hey, they brighten my day.
We were getting nervous. I was just like, when are they going to get the phones restored, for goodness sake? So, anyway, there you go. All right, let's go to Gary, South Haven, Mississippi, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, Gary, what's going on?
Well, I think what they're going to say about you, Todd, is that the greatest legacy you'll leave is you creating this wonderful station, 99 AM, Mighty 99 AM here in Memphis, because it is a tremendous station. All your programming is phenomenal. But what I was going to say is I'm from the Detroit area originally, and I know the bridge, the Ambassador Bridge, by the way, that goes into Canada. I know where it is in downtown Detroit. I know about the tunnel. I know about the congestion there only because I remember downtown Detroit. But anyway, I stand with the Canadians, and I'm stand for the future Americans that will stand like Canada does in standing up for the Judeo-Christian rights that are given to us by our Constitution, well, by our Lord himself. But also, given to us by our Constitution, which was based on Judeo-Christianity, and I just want to say that that it's a wonderful thing what's happening in Canada. And being a trucker myself, although I don't do it now because of my arthritis, I work for an LTL company here in Memphis, and I'm a part of Awake Memphis, which is a tremendous thing. In fact, I'm coming from a meeting there today on Tuesday, and I just want to say that you are leaving a tremendous legacy with 99 AM. And I love everything you say. And I love Gorka, and I love the morning guys, the morning show on my way to Awake this morning, everything about it. And I'm just right on with you, brother. I listen to it on the phone. It comes in better on my phone than it does on my radio station. So I just love you.
Well, you're kind to say that, Gary. And we have a lot of folks that listen to us on that beautiful app. And we love the great team that's assembled here. You know, we're fighting for freedom here in the bluest section of all of Tennessee. And it was important to give conservatives a voice. For so many years, conservatives and freedom loving Tennesseans have really lived in oppression here in this side of the state, afraid to speak out. And Gary, as you probably know as a listener, we're not afraid to call it like it is. We just tell it like we see it.
Right. Can I just say one more thing, Todd? Just that I have a free ministry called Sounding the Shofar. I'm not Jewish, but I talk about God's plans for Israel that came about from a ministry I do, feeding the homeless at St. Luke's Methodist over there on Highland. And it developed into a free ministry that I give for free to any church, synagogue, Catholic church, Baptist church.
All right.
Hostel,
What's that website, Gary?
It's not a website. It's just my ministry card.
Fantastic.
You can go to Google, Gitter, or whatever, Sounding the Shofar.
All right. Sounding the Shofar. All right, Gary in South Haven, Mississippi, thanks for listening to us. Let's go to George in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. George, I'm very intrigued by the question you're about to ask.
Hi, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate everything you all do. It's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
And I hope you're feeling well after your surgery. My question is, why do we never, ever see President Biden in the White House?
Isn't that interesting? George, you're right. Look, you picked up on something here. He is not at that White House much at all. Most of the time, he's back home in Delaware. And I was doing a little research on this because someone else mentioned this to me a couple of weeks ago. George, when you look at issues like dementia, which I am based on the doctors I've spoken to, they believe that the president is showing signs of that. One of the things the medical experts tell you about a person and caring for a person with dementia is that you want to be in familiar surroundings. And that dementia patients actually do better when they are in a familiar place like their home or some place that they're, again, just familiar with. And I'm wondering if that's one of the reasons why this White House staff it really has him in a bubble, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, they sure do seem like they're in a bubble. It's the wrong one, though.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. George, very well said. George, God bless you, and thank you for that call. Let's go to Ellijay, Georgia. Our good friend Joe from Ellijay. Joe, you were going through withdrawal, Joe. I saw it on your Facebook page.
Todd, I'll tell you what, I'm really fired up. Great interview with Trump, and we got big news in Georgia. Vernon Jones, who dropped out of the governor's race and endorsed David Perdue, and of course Donald Trump has endorsed David Perdue. And when I hang up from you, I'm going to call David and tell him to get on your show. I talked to Grace about it, but I'm really fired up about David. He'll be a great governor of Georgia. And Trump,
hey Joe,
him, and,
did you hear what Trump said? Did you hear what Trump said about your guy? Now we need to set the story up. Stacey Abrams was a photograph sitting Indian style. In front of the kids at the elementary school, no face mask on. Trump was on the show yesterday and said that David Perdue is going to win that race because of that photograph.
Well, I think it's true. I think David's going to win. I'm so fired up. I get up in the middle of the night and say, go, David, go. He's a great guy. And like I say, when I get off the show, I'm going to call him and tell him to get on.
I get up in the middle of the night, too.
Not for that reason.
Shouldn't have shared that.
But anyway, we're fired up about David. We're fired up about Trump. And everything's great. And David will beat Stacey Abrams because that's going to be the biggest race in America. And we'll all get fired up and get in there and work. You know, I'm going to really work hard for David, and he'll be the next governor. So, but anyway, Todd, yourself, whoever called in before me, you're right. They're right. You got the best talk show on radio, and I'm going to tell David that when I call him when I hang up.
All right, Joe, it's great hearing from you. And next time I'm in Georgia, we gotta have a meal together. So maybe Pool's barbecue.
I've got your pig at Pool's, and we'll have I'll buy you lunch. We'll have a good time. Okay, bring your show there. That'd be great.
He's got
Todd,
my pig
fantastic.
At Pools. Thanks, Joe from Ellijay.
Todd, you're the greatest. Bye.
All right, thanks, Joe. All right. Wow, what a start. We haven't even gotten through the first half hour yet, Grace Baker. Coming up, Homeland Security releasing a domestic terrorism threat that appears to be directed at yours truly. I'm serious. Grace looks alarmed here, but I don't know. It's we're going to read this to you. This is a bulletin coming from the Department of Homeland Security. And we're going to be going to your calls as well, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and we are broadcasting from our Liberty University studios. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and a person who I'm just a big fan of. I think she is just great for America. She's certainly been incredibly great for the state of South Dakota, and she is standing up for the values that are important to our society. And I have to tell you, Governor Kristi Noem, first, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's my honor to be with you.
And I have to tell you, as I was watching this video coming out of Canada, where they had hundreds of cowboys and cowgirls on horseback galloping down the road to defend those truckers, for some reason I thought about you because I know you that's what you do there in South Dakota.
We do. We've got a lot of great Americans here in South Dakota who really, I think, have been an example to the nation of people who had their freedoms protected and they loved it. They, you know, that's what I tell people all the time. You know, what South Dakota did together is kind of remarkable. And I think it gave the country hope because it showed that people will accept that personal responsibility that's guaranteed them by the Constitution and make the best decisions for their families.
It was just good, solid, common sense, and it was covered by the United States Constitution. And I thought you just really did a terrific job governing your state through that pandemic. And I think South Dakota is, quite frankly, one of the more stronger states in the union because of that.
Well, it's kind of how we approach everything. And, you know, what we did during COVID wasn't any different than what we do every single day. And that's give people all the information that they need. Remember, our role as state government, and our role is very limited, but we give them the best opportunity to be successful as possible and never stray away from what our mission was and what our founders believed America should be. So I think it's remarkable what's happening in South Dakota because people are happy and they're successful. Their businesses are doing better than ever. We've got the best economy in the country, one of the lowest unemployment rates. We've set records in revenue numbers. We're making long-term investments and paying off and putting into reserves historic amount of monies. We have the AAA credit rating, one of the fully funded pension. We're just really leading on what conservatives say we believe in. We're doing with excellence.
And Governor, you are not afraid, and that is something that is rare in politics. And I say that because you had the courage to stand up for young ladies, biological women, who are competing on athletic teams. You signed Senate Bill 46, talking about and it requires K-12 collegiate athletes to compete on teams according to their biological sex. Was that a difficult decision for you to get involved in that fight?
No, in fact, this fight started in South Dakota back in 2017. You know, the federal government came in and told us in the sport of rodeo in South Dakota, we couldn't have girls' events and boys' events anymore, that every event had to be open to every biological sex. And even in the sport of rodeo, there's a reason there's different events, and it's because of the biological nature of the abilities of males and females. And I fought that battle in 2018 against the federal government and won. I was in Congress at the time and the only one who would help the sport of rodeo, and we protected those events and fought them back and made sure we could still have girls' events and boys' events. So when this started to come again in South Dakota, I knew the right way to do this so that we would have the strongest bill in the nation. And I just signed that bill a few days ago. It was the very first bill that I signed into law this legislative session, and it truly will make sure that every single girl gets a level playing field. They get an equal opportunity to be successful, and that everything in our sporting events will be fair in the K-12 level and the collegiate level.
What's been the response there in South Dakota to this legislation?
You know, it's been fantastic. I think people recognize that we have a law here that can withstand legal challenges, that it's not going to be enjoined. We'll be able to enforce it every day, which is what we wanted, and that this isn't a trial lawyer's dream. This is a bill that ensures that a girl who doesn't make a team will have the opportunity to pursue litigation to play. That if there's a biological male that makes a sporting team in South Dakota, the female that did not have that chance to be a part of that team will have the chance to litigate and get the opportunity to be on that team because of the biological sex that's on their birth certificate.
And you know, Governor, and it's important for people and for folks to understand, because you've been called every name in the book by this. I call them the sex and gender revolutionaries. And it's not every gay person in America. It's not every lesbian or transgender person in America. We're talking about a small but very vocal group of people that really do want to tell you how to live your life. That's not what's happening here.
No, not at all. And that's really, this is about doing what's right and fair and protecting Title IX in the state. And I think in my political lifetime, which isn't as long as a lot of people's, but in over the years, I've been bullied by just about every different group on a different subject. At the end of the day, I focus on what my job is, what I'm called to do, what's best for my people, and remember what authorities I have and I don't have. And when it comes to bills like this, you have to do them smart so that they don't get thrown into court and get tied up so I can't enforce anything. And you have to do it in a way that recognizes what's the consequences 3 to 4 steps down the road. The political environment, sometimes people are looking for instant gratification. I'm very much focused on making sure we're making the best decision for long-term opportunities for our kids.
You see, and that's the way to do it right there. Governor, our time is quickly dwindling here. I would love for you to weigh in, though, on the midterms. How are things looking for the Republicans? What does the party need to be doing that maybe they're not doing?
Well, we need to cast a vision of what we're for. There's so many things to criticize Biden over. I mean, the guy's an absolute disaster and he's destroying our country. But we have to stand for something, too, and be happy. You know, this country is desperate for a little hope right now. And the only people that have shown what truly does make America special is Republicans and conservative leaders. So it's up to governors to make sure that they run honest elections, enforce their election laws they have, and then to make sure they're casting a vision for how different this country would look under conservative leadership. And then wake up and remember how blessed we are just to be living in the United States of America. We're still the best, most blessed country in the entire world because of where we live today.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, I'm a big fan of this TV show. I don't know if you've heard of it, called Yellowstone.
And, yes, I have.
And the prequel is 1883. And it just reminds me, it is a long, arduous, dangerous journey they're taking, you know, through the in the 1880s. But there's still a lot of hope there. And I just see a lot of parallels between that TV series and what we're going through here in America.
And I tell people every day, I mean, we don't know what hard is. Those were hard days, right? And my husband and I have discussed this many times. We think we're having a bad day or something. we got some bad news on something, I think, you know what, all of our kids are healthy. We didn't tragically lose somebody in our family today. I think we're doing pretty good and take care of those people around us. So.
I love it.
But yeah, that Yellowstone's amazing, and this prequel is going to be just as good.
It's fascinating. Well, Governor, one of these days we're going to get you down to Memphis. Believe it or not, we have a herd of bison in one of the city parks down here. So and horses.
Oh, you're
so.
Kidding me.
No, it's pretty amazing. So you can't eat them, but they're nice to look at. So
absolutely, I'll come visit you.
Governor, always good having you on the program, and congratulations for this great legislation there in South Dakota.
Thanks, Todd. Have a fantastic day.
All right, you too. That's Governor Kristi Noem, ladies and gentlemen, from South Dakota, taking a very bold stand on this issue of transgender athletes and signing into law the Fairness in Women's Sports Bill. And it pretty much lays it all out there for you. All right, look, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be opening up the phone lines here, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Our world has certainly changed. Everything is online today. With all the convenience the internet has to offer, our world is more electronic than ever. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life? Identity Guard can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. Here's a scary stat. Every 7 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or identity theft. 23% of those people never get their money back. And if you think it could never happen to you, think again. Identity Guard can help. They provide advanced monitoring to keep your online accounts, finances, and personal information safe. If a threat is found, you'll get alerted fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. For a limited time, Identity Guard is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit identityguard.com/Todd. Go to identitycard.com/Todd to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. Certain terms apply. See site for details. All right, let's head over to Rhode Island. Beautiful state. Carlotta's on the line. Miss Carlotta, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I have two things. If I say Creighton, does that ring a bell?
Say that one more time. I missed that word.
Creighton.
Titan. What does the... it should ring a bell. I don't know. What does it mean?
All right. Well, Bugs Bunny used to say that, Creighton, when something was coming to an end, meaning the jig is up. So it's like the Democrats for 2022.
You think the jig is up for the Democrats?
Well, yeah, and he used to say it's Coitons, you know, okay.
Oh, Coitons, as in curtains. I gotcha. Coitons.
Okay, right. So that's one thing. And then
I'm slow on the uptake today.
Right, okay. The other thing is, I think the reason that Joe is in Delaware so much is because, you know, Jill is a Philadelphia girl, and she's very protective of him. And she knows he does better from Delaware. And the White House wants to keep her away from the White House as much as possible so they can, you know, plot and scheme and put out news. He said this, he's doing that. So I think we've got two factions there, Joe and Jill in Delaware, and the White House being very happy that they're in Delaware.
Could be. I mean, that, Carlotta, that's an interesting thought. Clearly, there's a lot of unrest in the White House, more so in the vice president's office. That is a dumpster fire. And I know that Jill Biden, Mrs. First Lady, and Kamala Harris, the VP, do not get along. Bad blood going all the way back to the Democrat primary. So there could be something to that.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Have a good day.
Carlotta, always good to hear from you. Don't be a stranger now. So we like Carlotta. And Miss Janice, we kind of imagine that they're sisters, right? Is that not right, Grace Baker? We talk about this off the air.
Yeah, definitely. In my head, they're sisters.
kind of like the Golden Girls.
Yes, they would be the Golden Girls of the Todd Starnes show.
Coitons. I couldn't make it out.
I thought she said like something to, like Titan. Like I was like, wait, what am I missing?
Remember the Titans? Great movie.
Yeah.
I'm impressed that Governor Noem is a fan of Yellowstone.
That doesn't surprise
me. No, it's, I mean, it kind of makes sense. But, you know, everybody's wanting to be a cowboy now. That's, yes. That, they all, everybody wants to go work at a ranch. And,
well, she
you
was
know,
ahead of that trend. She's always worn the cowgirl hat.
And she's actually a very accomplished, she rides the horse, yes. Does the rodeo stuff, and yep. She's very good at it. So, by the way, I've got to get to this bulletin, Grace Baker. Apparently, we may be on Homeland Security's radar.
Uh-oh. What'd you do?
This just coming out today, by the way, folks. The Department of Homeland Security has issued a terrorism threat to the homeland. I'm going to read this here to you. The United States remains in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including, and this is where we get involved, an online environment filled with false and misleading narratives and conspiracy theories and other forms of misinformation or disinformation.
Uh-oh.
So what they're now saying is Homeland Security is elevating. So anybody who says something that's contrary to the teachings of the patron saint of Wuhan, one Anthony Fauci, anybody who is out there and is refuting, and for example, believe it or not, there are people that truly believe Stacey Abrams' well-rounded figure was photoshopped in front of those children. That is actually a narrative coming from the mainstream media. Anybody who says something otherwise is somehow now on some sort of a terrorist watch list.
Well, I guess a lot of people are going to be in trouble then.
Well, I'm getting nervous because, you know, we got to fly down to Orlando for CPAC in a couple of weeks, and I don't want to be pulled aside by the folks over at TSA, the touching sensitive areas people.
Oh, no.
I mean, nobody wants that. But that's where we're at. Folks, let me explain what's going on here with this threat. This is a bulletin designed to silence people. So if you have an opinion that runs contrary to the thinking of Washington or the mainstream media or Hollywood, all of a sudden you become a terrorist or a potential terrorist. Now, I want someone to explain to me how a website or a podcast like Joe Rogan is somehow a threat to the U.S. homeland. I want someone to explain that to me. And I will go all the way back in the Todd Starnes radio show Time Machine to back before there was even a talk show, back in the Bush administration, when I was one of the few conservative writers at the time calling out the Bush administration for the development of the Department of Homeland Security and the Patriot Act. And the whole premise of the Patriot Act was that you, American citizen, you, Uncle Sam, you, Auntie Joan or whatever, you have to give up some of your freedom so that you can be free. That is the premise of the Patriot Act. And I was really castigated by conservatives. How dare you stand up against George Bush? He's a great patriot. I have no doubt that George Bush is a great patriot, but he did some stupid stuff. The Patriot Act was one of them. Going to war with Iraq was the other. We still don't know where the weapons of mass destruction are. And that's, and you, again, I have great respect for George W. Bush and his leadership after 9/11. But then he turns around and he uses 9/11 to take away our freedom. We have a generation of young people, Grace Baker included now, who they don't remember the times when you could just walk into Memphis International Airport and if you wanted to go down to Concourse A and get some interstate barbecue, then you could do that. And nobody was going to bother you. Nobody was going to manhandle you.
Really?
Those are the good old days.
Man, I missed out.
The good old days. And now it's almost like you're going into North Korea. When you walk into beautiful Memphis International Airport, it's almost like you're walking into Pyongyang.
I mean, you're going through multiple checkpoints.
The checkpoints, people staring at you. They're yelling at you, put the mask up.
You got a bottle of, I don't know, shaving cream that's too big. They like have to, they pull you aside. They take
shampoo.
Apart your bag. And you have
shampoo.
Shampoo. And you have your bag all packed very nicely so everything fits. And then they take it apart. And then you have to shove everything back in there and sit on it and try to zip it up. It's a pain.
Meanwhile, if you're an Islamic radical, they just let you walk on through because we don't profile at TSA. No, you don't profile. You just touch sensitive areas. Tell me if I'm wrong. If your local airport, does it give you the Pyongyang, North Korea vibe? 844-747-8868. Hey, this is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We got another hour coming up. 2 hours, actually. We'll be right back. By now, you've heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike Lindell is just a great American patriot. And he is. And he has done it again with his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers designed to wear indoors or outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And they're also made with quality leather suede. Now, for a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his My Slippers. So comfortable, you're going to want to get some for the whole family. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes and click on the radio listener square. Use my promo code Starnes. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including some overstocked items such as individual towels, blankets, comforters, and so much more. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes. You can also call 800-839-8506. Use the promo code Starnes.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Just got a great email from our good friend Jeff Stein, who is the program director over at our great affiliate in Waterloo, Iowa, radio station KXEL. 50,000 watt blowtorch. You can hear that thing all the way up into Canada. As a matter of fact, at this very moment, there are probably Canadian truckers listening to our conversation. Now getting word that KXEL is adding an FM signal, and that's FM 100.5. And we want to say welcome to all of our listeners on AM and FM in Waterloo, Iowa. I think that makes 118 radio stations that are now broadcasting this program. Before we go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, I want to say, first of all, welcome to our Liberty University studios. Governor Kay Ivey, the governor of Alabama, just dropped the ultimate Southern insult on President Biden. Take a listen.
Growing up, my mom and dad told us, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Well, here's what I have to say about Joe Biden.
We're listening. Well, the audio cut off, but the ultimate insult, and guys, if we can go back and let's get the full audio there, and we'll be able to play that again. I goofed, ladies and gentlemen, my apologies. But let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Our good friend, who never makes a mistake, he is the White House correspondent at Newsmax TV, our good friend James Rosen. James, good to have you with us.
Great to be back with you, Todd. Thank you.
Hey, James, a lot going on in Washington right now. We've been following some breaking developments. Russia is beginning to make some movements with their ships, with their Navy. The reporting that warships reportedly on the move for naval drills. What's the latest there between Russia and the Ukraine and the United States?
So this is an ongoing crisis, as your listeners know, where the Russians have deployed upwards of 130,000 troops to areas along Ukraine's various borders, including Western Russia, Crimea, and also to the neighboring country of Belarus, which, like Russia, shares a border with Ukraine. We saw the German chancellor visiting with President Biden yesterday in the White House. We saw the French president, Emmanuel Macron, visiting with President Putin in Moscow yesterday and then shuttling off to Kiev to visit with the embattled Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, yesterday. There's a lot of shuttle diplomacy taking place. At the same time, the President Putin is actively augmenting the array of forces and military systems in those areas around Ukraine's border. So the diplomacy and the kind of saber rattling and the deployments by the Russians are all continuing at the same time, Todd.
James, are you getting any indication that, I mean, it seems to be simmering now. If it seems like a couple of weeks ago, we were on the verge of a shooting war with the Russians. Where are things now? Where do you, I mean, you've covered many of these kinds of stories before. Where do you think we are in all of this?
The respite for the Ukrainians for the moment came in the form of the Winter Olympics in Beijing. There was a feeling that President Putin would not want to embarrass his staunchest ally on the world stage, Chinese President Xi Jinping, by launching the largest land war in Europe since World War II, just as the Chinese were hosting the Olympics. And, of course, President Putin traveled to Beijing to appear alongside Xi Jinping at the start of the Olympics. The Olympics will continue for another week or so. The U.S. has been suggesting that an invasion could really come at any time. President Macron of France had some interesting things to say today, following his several hours of talks with President Putin yesterday. The Russians were very quick to say, in the form of a spokesperson for President Putin today, that Moscow and Paris could not reach any deals because no deals can be reached in the current situation. But President Macron said that basically he and the Russians and the U.S. and its European allies are kicking around new guarantees, new security architecture, whereby perhaps Ukraine might make some kind of pledge never to join NATO, the NATO alliance. The Russians have said they would be satisfied with that. There are other elements that are up for discussion, but from President Macron's comments, Todd, we get the sense that the architecture of a possible diplomatic resolution to this crisis may start to emerge soon.
You know, it was fascinating, James Rosen. I was reading the blow-by-blow of the meeting between Putin and Macron, but the bigger story was the image of the two at this table where you could fit the entire British royal family, and they were seated on either end, and people are wondering, okay, is there a message here in all of this? And people thought it was photoshopped, but it's a real photograph.
Well, we should never underestimate, Todd, the appetite that autocrats harbor for huge, grandiose scale. And so, for example, you know, when we see parades in North Korea, they are so gargantuan and massive that they dwarf anything you see in the United States or democracies. So we might be willing to attribute this interior design choice in the Kremlin to that appetite.
You wonder if Putin just, I mean, maybe he just has a really weird, warped sense of humor. I don't know, but there you go. We'll follow those developments. Meanwhile, I wanted to ask you a question about something that's been happening at the State Department on a pretty regular basis. The State Department spokesman has really been getting to, like, I mean, these are verbal fisticuffs with some of the reporters talking about Ned Price and the back and forth. I'm just curious, how is the relationship between the press corps and the administration going?
In terms of the State Department press corps, I don't think it's terribly different from what it has been with previous State Department spokespeople. There was an extraordinary exchange between the State Department spokesperson, Ned Price, and Matt Lee, the dean of the diplomatic corps over at the State Department, which is what the press corps calls himself over there. He's the longtime Associated Press State Department correspondent. With that designation, if you will, as the dean, he gets to lead off each of the briefings and ask the first question. Generally speaking, in press briefings in Washington, whether it's the State Department or whether it's the White House, it is the senior wire correspondent for the wire services that gets to ask the first question. And Matt Lee was pursuing with Ned Price the allegations that the administration had lodged, first through the Pentagon spokesperson, Admiral Kirby, that they had some evidence that the Russians were planning a false flag operation somewhere in Ukraine, wherein Russian-backed forces would launch an attack on Russia's own forces in a way that it would be left attributable to Ukraine's forces so as to justify an invasion, and that the Russians were planning to videotape this, complete with actors and stage scenes of destruction and fake blood and so forth. And however, the one problem with all of this was that neither the Pentagon nor the State Department nor the White House provided any evidence for why they believed the Russians were planning this. Matt Lee tried to pursue that with Ned Price. And if you watch this online, you can see it. Ned Price was who's formerly served as a spokesperson for CIA, who's got great experience in this kind of work, kept saying, well, I've given you the information, Matt. And Matt Lee, to his credit, kept saying, no, what you've given are allegations. You haven't given any information or evidence to this effect. And it went back and forth for about 5.5 minutes. And it appeared testy at times. Matt Lee, whom I love and whom I know for 20 years, can be an excitable fellow. No one would say that about Ned Price. But, this is Washington, and this is what reporters are supposed to be doing, which is pressing public officials for answers.
And it's America. Yeah, exactly right. This is what reporters are supposed to be doing. And but anytime you had the AP guy mention, dropping an Alex Jones reference in the State Department briefing, you know it's going to be an interesting day, James Rosen.
For sure.
Oh, goodness. All right, James, we're going to leave it there. We know you're a busy man, and we'll see you on TV tonight on Newsmax. At James Rosen TV is his Twitter handle. You should follow James. He is the best of the best when it comes to covering the White House. James, always good hearing from you, friend.
You're very kind. Thank you, Todd.
All right, that's James Rosen. He is the White House correspondent for Newsmax. And just doing a heck of a great job over there for the network and also for America. All right, so we've got the audio worked out now. This is, I'm going to reset this up for you, and this is a question for our Southern female listeners. We're going to play the audio here, and this is Alabama Governor Kay Ivey with the ultimate Southern insult to Joe Biden.
Growing up, my mom and dad told us, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Well, here's what I have to say about Joe Biden.
Alabama's one and only, Kay Ivey.
Poor Joe. Bless his heart.
I love it. As great as the audio is, you've got to watch the video, which we have on our website, toddstearns.com. But here's the question. I can answer this question because I, as someone who has lived all over America, I am well-versed in all the cultures. But as you know, I am a Southern man, born and bred here in the Southern states. So I know the answer to this question. But I believe that we should offer the answer to this question to a Southern woman. So here's the question. Why is the term bless your heart a Southern insult? What makes that an insult? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, we do have to take a break. We'll be right back, America.
It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Trying to do a little business in between commercial breaks. You almost caught me there, Grace Baker. Coming up tomorrow, Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty is going to drop by. And later on this week, we have David Perdue, who's running for governor in Georgia. That's going to be a lot of fun. So all sorts of Grace, I tell you what, you've been, I don't know, Red Bull and the Fruit Loops this morning.
Trying. I mean, we started out the week with the president. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump. So
that's
it's
right.
Like, how do you top that?
It's well, the great thing about this program, people really do want to come on the show because of our audience.
Yes.
And we have a lot of movers and shakers among our listeners. And you guys, I mean, we're bragging on you, but we really do have a great audience out there. And you guys are very active. And
yes.
You're making, whenever there's an issue, you're making the calls, and people love that.
Yes.
And I was talking to Glenn Story. You know, we had Glenn Story on yesterday, who is the founder of Patriot Mobile. You know, it's interesting how he got started. He and his wife really got really plugged into the conservative activism movement because of a local school issue there in Texas. That's how it all started. And I hope we can all get out for dinner. He took a group of us out to dinner in Dallas at CPAC last year. And it was like one of these, it was an old school Italian restaurant, you know, with the curtains, and it was really Italian like Godfather. Food. And
yes.
So we, that was like a 5-hour dinner, and you just sat, and it was, you didn't want to leave.
No,
it was just a great night. And hearing the stories of how they're involved in so many different things beyond just politics, one of their big passions is getting Bibles into some of the former Soviet Eastern Bloc countries, now, you know, Eastern Europe. Places like Ukraine. So they're really involved in getting Bibles and things like that to the people over there. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm a huge fan of Patriot Mobile. And they also support our program, and we really like that too. But they're doing God's work out there. And I think it's important for us, just given the choice, would you rather your money go to support Planned Parenthood, your phone money, or would you rather your money go to buy Bibles in Europe or support a pro-life crisis pregnancy center? And that's one of the reasons we support Patriot Mobile. We normally do their commercial a little bit later on in the program, but since we're talking about them, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd right now and just get information. You don't have to, they don't pressure you. You know, it's not like you're going to buy a car. So patriotmobile.com/Todd. And if you use my name, Todd, they're going to give you a free activation and a free gift. Are you a veteran or a first responder? They're going to give you folks even bigger discounts. So they've got plans to fit any budget, no matter how big, how small. I want 75 cell phones. Okay, no problem. They can do that for you. PatriotMobile.com, 972-PATRIOT is their service team number. That's 972-PATRIOT. By the way, the service team, and this is worth all of it, based right here in the good old U.S. of A. So you're speaking to somebody who can speak English, not like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, who speaks fluent Mandarin Chinese, as we learned from yesterday's show. What are you doing, Grace?
No comment.
That was the best. You know what? That would make my day if I can hear that before the end of this segment. I love Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. Oh, my goodness. All right, 844-747-8868. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you, that none of you know why the term bless your heart is a Southern insult. I mean, at face value, and people would give me a hard time in New York City, especially at Fox News Channel, because they did not know the ways of the South. And Grace Baker, I know poor Kyle, we're working him to death today on this audio. But when I was back at Fox News in New York, and somebody did something really bad, you know, they were just rude to me or whatever. It wasn't very, that rarely happened. But when it did, I would just say, well, bless your heart. And people would stop me in the hallway. And who was it? It was Harris Faulkner or somebody. Martha McCallum, it was Dana Perino. And she said, Todd, that's so nice of you. She goes, that person was rude to you. And you turn around and you just smile and say, bless your heart. And
she doesn't know.
She didn't know. She didn't know what that means.
Let her live in that, you know, bliss is, you know, ignorance is bliss.
I want to play. Can we play Kate? I want to play the governors. We're going to play this again. This is the best political ad of the season so far. The Alabama governor.
Growing up, my mom and dad told us, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Well, here's what I have to say about Joe Biden.
Alabama's one and only, Kay Ivey.
Poor Joe. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Wow. I love it. It's great. It really is a secret weapon, especially if you're a Southern woman. You're armed with that and a cast iron skillet. You're pretty much going to be able to do whatever you want to do in life. All right. Coming up, we're going to get into this. We've got a crazy story about Joe Biden and the Biden administration funding crack pipes. This is not a make-believe story. This is not hyperbole. It's not parody. But the instead of Build Back Better, which completely collapsed, instead of Build Back Better, Biden is introducing a bill, some legislation to smoke crack better. They are literally spending $30 million of your tax money to provide crack pipes for drug dealers across America. For the sake of equity, we're going to get into that. This is your tax dollars at work here, folks. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. ToddStarnes.com, the website. No, I don't know if Hunter Biden, I don't know, maybe Hunter proposed the legislation. I don't know. Well, it's Parmesan cheese, my bad. I'm in a good mood today. It's not that I'm always in a bad mood, but Monday, somebody sent me, you guys are always looking out for my health and well-being. And I got a couple of messages. Todd, you got to tone it. You got to take it down a few notches. It's your blood pressure. Don't let Biden get to you like that. I'm good. Grace keeps me. We have the blood pressure cuff here in the Southern Command at our Liberty University studios. So we do the blood pressure checks, you know, in between commercial breaks. Hey, let's go to the phones real quick here. Tom, I'm very intrigued here. Tom from Pennsylvania believes he knows the meaning of the term, bless your heart. Why is that a Southern insult? Tom, good to have you with us. We're going to let you take a stab at this.
Okay, Todd. Well, you know, the people on the staff are so polite. It's just a nice way of saying you're not right in the head. There's something wrong with you.
No, poor Joe. Bless his heart.
No. Tom, close. It's very close. You're sort of in the ballpark, but we appreciate you calling in. Tom gets bonus points because he's a guy, and also he's from north of the Mason-Dixon line. So that was a good try. Let's go. We're going to go to Diana and then Kay. Hang tight, Kay. Diana, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee. Diane, how are you today?
I am doing well.
Wonderful. All right, Diana, I want you to see if you can help us out here. What does the term bless your heart mean?
Well, in the South, you can say anything you want to about somebody, and as long as you follow it up with bless your heart, you can get away with it. I can say, oh, she is such a tramp, bless her heart. Well, and it's okay. I can say that.
She is such a tramp, but bless her heart. This took a very odd turn quickly, Diana. I want to bring it, Dinah, don't go anywhere. I want to bring in Kay from Georgia, who's listening to us on WTUN. So, Kay, Diana pretty much got it. Is that right?
No, that's what we used to think, but the real answer is they think you're stupid.
Oh, now, so Kay, at least in Georgia, that means they think you're stupid.
Yeah.
All right. And
I never thought that until I heard somebody say it one day. I thought, where do they get that? Because I've lived in Georgia all my life, 78 years.
Is that right? Now, you see, Kay, I grew up in Memphis, and Diana, I'm with you. My mom would use that phrase a lot, especially with us kids, and I never really understood it. I just thought we were just overly blessed. Clearly, that was not the case.
Right.
You know what I'm going to do for both you ladies? You know what? I want to send both of y'all, if it's okay, I want to send y'all a copy of my new devotion book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Is that all right?
That would be great.
Wonderful. We're going to put you on. Yes, ma'am.
I am the one that gave you a big hug when we went to the barbecue place in Gainesville.
Kay, you're not supposed to say anything about that. That was just between you and me.
But they took a picture of us. And so we've got proof.
Oh, Lord. Are we on Media Matters? Is that what they're doing? Are we being blackmailed now? Kay, I remember that hug, and you're a great hugger.
Well, thank you. You are, too.
Well, you're very kind to say that. Kay, we're going to put you on hold, and Diana, too. And, Diana, you can just swing by our Southern Command and pick up your copy, but we'll let Grace handle all of that. That's great. Thank you, Governor Kay Ivey from Alabama, for making our day. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are delighted to have with us just an incredible person. She has a great website called womeninthebible.info. Her name is Marina Hoffman, and Marina's dad is a truck driver, and he has been, and I understand, Marina, you and your family have been on the front lines of this Canadian convoy. So first of all, Dr. Hoffman, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Todd. That's right. My dad's been a trucker, and my family are definitely on the side of freedom. And I'm doing my best spreading the truth about what's going on from here in South Florida.
So let's talk about the truth, because the media north of the border, just like the media south of the border, they're trying to portray these truckers as, you know, white supremacist, as just very hateful, bad people. But that's simply not the case.
Oh, no, it's outrageous. And of course, Todd, they have no evidence, right? But this is supposedly a violent group, even though the police admitted a few days ago there has been no violence. And now there's reports of violence in the city of Ottawa going down 90% in the last 10 days. But of course, the mainstream media is trying to end this in their own way, and they're fully behind Trudeau and his mandates.
I'm curious, Dr. Hoppen, what are you hearing from your dad, and how is he involved in the protest?
You know, Todd, for 2 years, life has been miserable. I mean, everyone's lucky to hold on to their job and waiting day by day to see if they're going to be let go if they haven't taken these vaccines. Families have been split up, can't even get together, can't visit the old folks, have to mask your children, just the same kind of struggles that many Americans have gone through. And my dad, like so many others, has had enough. And I'm so proud of him because he wants freedom for everyone. And he wants it for my little girl. He's got a granddaughter, and he doesn't want my daughter to be raised in a kind of world where she won't learn to speak and look at people in the eye.
And if you could explain to our listeners, and we have a pretty large audience around the country and a lot of truck drivers, what is it that the truck drivers are upset about?
You know, they work on their own, Todd, right? Why do they have to have a vaccine mandate when they're a solo job? They spend hours, sometimes days on the road without a break. So they're not this kind of threat that they should lose their livelihood and the ability to provide for their family. But Todd, as this movement gained support from across Canada and the States, and everyone's looking at Canada right now, their desire has grown not only for themselves, but simply freedom for every single Canadian. And Todd, let's hope they keep their word and come down to Washington when they're done.
Well, absolutely. And I would love to see some sort of a movement here in America where you have truck drivers and farmers and the cast of Yellowstone come galloping into, you know, Washington, D.C. to send a message to Congress and really to Republicans and Democrats that we're tired of all this nonsense. We're ready to get back to the way life used to be in this country.
That's right. And I think one way that these truckers have really inspired all of us is that they've used something extremely ordinary to accomplish something extraordinary. What have they done, Todd? They just got in their truck like they've done every day for many years. And yet that simple act, used in a way to stand against the government's unfair mandates, has made an incredible difference. And I think we can all say has changed protests going forward, probably forever. And Todd, I think it just has encouraged so many people to say, what can I do? One example in Canada, thousands of people, hundreds, are showing up at different malls and walking in peacefully without a mask. So a very simple, nonviolent defiance of these mandates.
Well, that's the way to do it. And good for all the folks there in Canada. And it's exciting to see people in other countries standing up for their freedoms and marching in the streets. But it's kind of sad to see that it has to happen. It's come to this in Canada with under the leadership of Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of lies in the media. And I think, Todd, one of the most debilitating lies has been in Canada, where they keep saying 90% of people are fully vaccinated. But, Todd, tell me, how can 90% be vaccinated and hospitals are having to let go 30, 40, 45% of workers? And this is across industries. So there's been a lie, I think, in terms of how many percentage of people have been fully vaccinated. But when you're that 10%, you feel powerless and you feel compelled to join because you have no other chance and no other option, no voice to be heard. So I think there's been a lot of lies, but now these people realize they are not alone and they're not at 10%.
Yeah, and you know what? That is so important. And we've posted a lot of videos. We've posted a lot of images from Canada, all across the nation, as these truckers and others are standing up for freedom by blockading these borders. And you know, it may be tough, folks. We may see some supply chain shortages in our neck of the woods, but that's a very small price to pay as we stand alongside these freedom loving patriots in the north. Well, Dr. Hoppin, I really appreciate your time. Tell us real quick, we've got about 30 seconds here. Tell us about this website, womeninthebible.info.
That's right. My platform is to encourage women of faith today to stand up and not to realize they're not alone, because women in the Bible did the same thing. And Todd, you look at the midwives, right? What did they do? Something ordinary. Kept bringing children into the world. And Todd, they were afraid. But the Bible says they were more afraid of God than the Pharaoh. And I think that's a great lesson for us all to keep in mind. Even if we're afraid, move forward in faith and be courageous. Take a stand for truth and freedom.
Good for you. All right, Dr. Hoppin, we're going to leave it there. We wish you and your family and your dad, your sisters up there on the front lines, we wish them the very best, and we appreciate you bringing us up to speed on what's going on up there.
Thank you, Todd, for all you do. You're a great voice of freedom. Thank you.
All right, Dr. Marina Hoffman there at Palm Beach Atlantic University. That is literally a stone's throw, ladies and gentlemen, from Mar-a-Lago. Beautiful campus down there. Used to be a Baptist school back in the day. I think it's still Christian. I don't know. Anyway, she is a teacher there, and she has family in Canada, and we'll keep you updated on the developments there. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So the Biden administration is setting up a new program, $30 million of your tax money. Keep in mind, Build Back Better did not work. So now they have launched something called Smoke Crack Better. Well, no, they didn't call it that, but I am. Smoke Crack Better. So the Biden administration is setting aside $30 million in grant money, and here's how it's going to work. Your town, your community could apply for this grant money. And if your town gets this money, they will be able to use that money to buy smoking kits and supplies for drug users. A spokesman for the agency, this is the Department of Health and Human Services, tells the Washington Free Beacon that the smoking kits will provide pipes for users to smoke crack cocaine, crystal meth, and any other illicit substance. Grace, I wonder if they're going to have, like, you remember the Elmer's glue as a child? And
Oh, yeah.
The dare, you know, you would take the top off the glue and then you would sniff the glue and or the magic yes. markers.
I do remember the magic markers.
The magic markers. Mm-hmm.
Gotta watch those suckers.
Gotta watch it. I'm not sure if that's included here. If you're going to give everybody their own little bottle of glue.
True.
Homeland or Health and Human Services says that the kits aim to reduce the risk of infection when smoking substances with glass pipes. They say that can lead to infections through cuts and sores. So what are they going to use if it's not glass? What, plastic?
I don't know. I don't have a clue.
So here's the thing. So if you're a white crackhead, you're kind of out of luck here. So I'm sorry. I hate to break it. So there's somebody in Memphis, Tennessee without power right now, and their day just got even worse.
You're like, man, sorry. I don't even get my crack.
I'm appalled. Yeah, what can I say? Try Kit Kats or gummy bears. Those are very tasty.
Yeah.
Somewhat addictive, but at least they're not going to kill you.
True.
And your teeth aren't going to fall out as long as you brush regularly. and you got a floss. So anyway, applicant, the reason, yeah, so you white crackheads, you're out of the picture here. This money is only for underserved communities.
Gosh.
Oh, my God. Where is Kay Ivey? Where is Kay Ivey when you need her?
Poor Joe. Bless his heart.
So the applicants for the grants are prioritized. So if you're a crackhead of color, you are eligible. But if you're a white crackhead, I don't think – well, I take that back. It's open to – now, here we go. These are the underserved communities, African-Americans and LGBTQ plus persons. So this is all about advancing racial equity. Is that
I have no words.
I don't either. I don't even know what the percentages of people that are, you know, smoking crack or doing the crystal meth or whatever.
Never have looked into that.
Sergeant Clyde Boatwright is the president of the Maryland Fraternal Order of Police. He said that government resources are better spent on preventing drug use rather than making it safer. You think so? Yeah. Are you sure about that, Sergeant Boatwright? Officer Clyde, are you sure about that? Mr. Boatwright told the Free Beacon, if we look at more preventative campaigns as opposed to an enabling campaign, I think it'll offer an opportunity to have communities safer with fewer people who are dependent upon these substances. Unbelievable.
Whatever you say, bud.
You know, I remember this. You know, they tried this in San Francisco, and they would give out the free needles. And you know what happened? The drug addicts, they're not very tidy people. They did not go to home economics in high school, and so they don't know how to keep a clean house. And so what do? They leave the dirty needles at the playgrounds. So the children, when they're on the merry-go-round and it goes really, really fast, and somebody just falls off and they land on a dirty needle.
Oh, my God.
That actually happens in San Francisco. It's dangerous. You can't even go out onto the beach near the Santa Monica Pier in Los Angeles, by the way, because of the same problem. They just leave the dirty needles there.
Ugh.
So there you go. This is I don't know if they're going to call it the Hunter Biden plan. I don't know. Well, he said he smoked Parmesan cheese.
I'm about to say.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Coming up at the top of the next hour, man, Jen Psaki is getting hammered all over the place. There's a lot of controversy about this science advisor, Eric Lander, who is basically a sleazeball, and not at the Hunter Biden level, but he was a sleazeball nonetheless. And so he was allowed to resign, even though Joe Biden said early on in the administration that, hey, look, I will fire any staffer who treats other people with great disrespect. So Biden lied about that, allowed the guy to resign, and now at least five different reporters are grilling Psaki about this. So we'll try to pull up some audio from that for the next hour of the program. In the meantime, I thought it would be kind of nice just to wrap up this hour of the show with a salute to our Canadian friends as they are fighting for freedom in their nation. So I know we have the Star Spangled Banner, but this, ladies and gentlemen, is the Canadian National Anthem. So God bless all of our good friends to the north.
We see the rise.
live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hour three of the big show underway. Hope you're doing good wherever you might be today. By the way, got a couple of emails. Hey, Starnes, where can I find that Trump interview? Well, it's very simple. All you have to do is go to our website and download the podcast. And when you do that, you'll be able to – oh, it doesn't cost you a penny, by the way. You'll be able to listen to the entire interview we did with President Trump. Write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today, 844-747-8868. Again, that is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, Grace Baker, a lot of people here in the Memphis area where we broadcast from the Liberty University studios do not have power.
Yep.
It has been, what, 6 days now?
Yes.
No power. While we were getting ready for the show, we hear this huge explosion outside. I look out my office window, and I see another explosion, and it looks like a transformer, and it set a house on fire.
Jeez
Just,
Louise.
I would say, not too far from where we are.
No, not at all.
So it's a mess here, folks, and we appreciate the kind words, and we appreciate the thoughts and the prayers, but a lot of people do not have power. We're talking over, what, 50,000 customers? So the average customer has three people connected to them. So you're looking at, what, 150,000 people. And people staying in hotels, people can't open their businesses. And this is what happens when you have a city that is controlled for generations by Democrats. And I can tell you that the power company, they call it Memphis Light, Gas, and Water, MLGW, for you folks outside of the Mid-South. And this is a public utility, and they're basically blaming the outages on the citizens. They're saying that people didn't trim their trees, that people need to be willing to pay more money on their electric bills so they can do all these upgrades. But the reality is something very different, because Memphis Light, Gas, and Water is all about woke politics, more so woke politics than actually keeping the power on. And we appreciate and respect and honor the linemen that are out there. Those are hardworking frontline workers. But we're talking about management level and the executives who run the companies. And these are all left-leaning people. And they have let the infrastructure of this once beautiful city just deteriorate. I mean, it's just crumbling all around us. And this is what happens when you put Democrats in charge of your government and you keep voting for these Democrats, even though they do nothing for you. I mean, that is the very definition of insanity. But Grace, I was reminded of something. Somebody wrote a note to us earlier this morning and said, Todd, there's a reason why the trees were not trimmed here in Memphis, Tennessee, because we have a very... Our city looks like a forest. It's
yes.
Beautiful with the big oak trees and the poplar trees.
We have a giant park called Shelby Farms right in the middle of the city.
That's where the bison
sakes.
Live.
Yeah.
We were talking with Governor Kristi Noem about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the horses. You can actually go ride horses out there.
Oh, yeah.
Massive.
Massive.
So anyway, it turned out last fall when they were supposed to, you know, again, that's when you start trimming the trees. So when you do have the ice storms, the trees don't fall on the power lines and blow everything to kingdom come. They brought in all of these people from outside of the city. They hired these workers, and they're out there trimming the trees, and they started getting robbed. And sure enough, I remembered the story. So I went back, and sure enough, these crews were out there in some, you know, difficult areas of town, and then not so difficult areas of town. And they were literally robbed of all their possessions.
Mm.
I mean, that's kind of tough. You know, you're up a pole, literally, and you're trying to get the lights. You know, you're trying to cut trees, and you've got some guy staring up at you with a gun saying, hey, give us all your stuff.
Jeez.
And so
what a mess.
The tree trimming company said, well, to heck with this.
Of course they did.
It's not worth it. We're out of here. And now here's what we have to live with.
tree limbs everywhere.
So maybe, just maybe, if the city leaders were more focused on protecting the citizens from the bad guys and keeping the lights on instead of advancing some sort of a woke theology, maybe everybody would be back to normal by now.
What a nice thought.
So there you go. All right, 844-747-8868. It is so nice to have our phones back. Again, that's 844-747-8868. Mayor Eric Adams, New York City. The brand new mayor, brand spanking new mayor, he's a Democrat, and the guy's apparently a healthy eater. So he says that he subscribes to a plant-based and a plant-centered diet. And so when the reporters saw the mayor at a nice restaurant eating a piece of fish, well, they got triggered and had a complete meltdown. So they're having this press conference. I kid you not. They're having a press conference, and the reporters are yelling at the mayor and accusing him of not being a vegan. So they're accusing the mayor of being a faux meat eater. At the very least, I don't know, he's a pescatarian. At the most, I guess he's a liar. I don't know. But the mayor said, no, don't get me wrong. He says he prefers. So he's not like a fundamentalist when it comes to veganism. So in other words, he likes a piece of fish every now and again. That's how I took it. But the mayor is going back and forth with the reporters, and they're all very upset because they feel like they've been had. They thought, finally, we have elected a vegan to office when, in fact, he's a closet fish eater. I prefer shrimp, by the way. Then the mayor announced that they're coming up with this big new plan for the public schools there in New York City. So all of the public schools are about to become places of healthy eating. And the mayor has announced that Fridays will, going forward, be known as Meatless Fridays. And the lunch ladies are only allowed to serve vegan meals. Now, of course, a lot of the children are very upset in New York City because they don't want to eat kumquats. They don't want to eat cauliflower. They want to eat cheeseburgers and pizza and good food. Where's the beef? That's what they want. But that's not what they're getting. So I don't know if this is a smart political move for the mayor. I will say this about New York City. One of the best food scenes in America. Great food. All you people, and let me just stick a pin in this for just a moment. If you are going on vacation to New York City and you go to eat at the Olive Garden in Times Square, shame on you. Do not do that. You can go eat at the Olive Garden, and that's not Italian food. All right, it's good food. Don't get me wrong. Love the breadsticks. Love the bottomless salad. Love it. It's great. But that's not Italian food. If you're going to New York City, your behind better be at John's Pizzeria down in the Village, or John's Italian, which is over in the East Village, or La Villa in Park Slope. That's where, if I hear that anyone in this audience is eating at the Olive Garden or Applebee's or the McDonald's in Times Square, shame on you. And if you're going to New York City, shoot me a message and I'll tell you exactly where you need to go and eat. But I'm just telling you, if the mayor tries to stop all of these New Yorkers from eating their pastrami on rye or that bagel with a schmear, he's going to be the first mayor of New York City that is impeached in modern American history. I mean, they take their bagels and the schmear very seriously. It would be like, just for example, it would be like the new mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, coming in and announcing that he was going to ban pulled pork. Yeah, I mean, there'd be a war. That's just all there is to it. All right, 844-747-8868 is our number. Let's go to the phones here. Alan is, I understand, a truck driver. And, Alan, I understand you're headed to, where are you headed to?
I'm actually at a stop right now in Texas. I'm headed to Colorado, but I was telling Grace on the phone, I've actually, not by choice, was in Canada this last week, and I said, it's only about a two-hour detour from where I'm at. Let me go see what all this is a fuss about. I had some friends who were staying there who were truck drivers as well, And Todd, I'm not sure that anyone has really played this side of it. And this is only personal experience. But what I experienced the past week is warfare. This is an attack on the people of Canada. This is psychological torture. I've been out of Canada now for 2 days, and the ringing still is in my ears. There's a definition for this. It's called phantom honking. If you honk enough, your ears will continue to ring. You will continue to hear the honking.
Really?
And the enemy is so clever. These parasites are so clever that they've got the thinking, the woke world, now cheering them on. And I'll admit, I bought onto it. It looked good on TV. Hook, line, and sinker. I think the whole world is buying onto this, when really what this is, from my experience, this is torture. This is warfare. This is psychological torture. This is an attack on the people, and they got us cheering it on. If you don't believe me, go buy one of those little air horns, because this is about equivalent to what my truck horn sounds like. And I just want you to ring it in the office, let's say 15 times. And they're doing sometimes 50 times in 1 minute, every second of every day of every hour. And so, I want you to tell me.
So you're not a big fan of the. So Alan, I'm just curious. I just want to understand where you're coming from here on this. So are you supporting the truckers, or do you have a problem with what they're doing?
Todd. Meanwhile, while this is going on, while you've got the roads backed up, I couldn't get in to where I was supposed to go. I couldn't get in. This is about a 20 to 24-hour detour if you actually want to get into Ottawa where these protests are going on. If I can't get in, I assure you the products and goods can't get in.
I think that's the point. I think that's what they want to have happen, is that they want to put a stop to it so the government will finally surrender and say, okay, here are your civil liberties back.
So then think about that for a second, Todd. You're starving the people. Imagine if this was our shield. Imagine if this was in Memphis. Under no circumstance would you want to starve the people.
Well, Alan, I don't know about that. If that's how you were going to facilitate change, I mean, we're talking about, in Canada at least, civil liberties that are under assault by the government, and they're forcing these truck drivers to do something that they don't want to do. And it seems to me the truck drivers have the upper hand here. So my take on it is, you know what? Yeah, I may have to miss a meal or two, but if it's going to be, if the result of that is you get your freedom back, I think that's well worth it.
So what is this, your freedom back? Just go back to normal, to the way it was?
Well, the truckers up there are opposed to these mandates. They don't want to have to wear the face masks in their trucks. They don't want these mandatory vaccine policies.
Yeah, I just the ringing in my ears the whole way. I've been thinking that man, this is torture, and I didn't even get close. You're talking about ringing and honking from a line on the side of the road. I can't imagine the people that live in the inner city.
You know what it reminds me of, Alan? It reminds me of, and we're going to have to, and Alan, I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate your,
have a good day.
I appreciate your opposing opinion. And by the way, we have a policy here. If you disagree with me, you go right to the top of the line, because we love talking to folks. You know what that reminds me of, that honking of the horn? It reminds me of the bells ringing when this country became a nation, where you had bells ringing border to border, coast to coast. That's what that reminds me of. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Appreciate the call. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Summer with AC Pro and O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get a $15 O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card after mail-in rebate with the purchase of select AC Pro ready-to-use refrigerant products that include a hose and gauge. Beat the heat before you hit the road with AC Pro at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
right, just got a note from our good buddy over in Nevada, Wyatt Cox. You know, Wyatt is one of the nicest guys in all of radio, just a super fella. And he heads up the Nevada Talk Network. Our radio program broadcasts live all over the state. And just a note here, all you folks listening in Ely, Nevada, K-E-L-Y, you normally listen to us on AM 1230, which you still can listen to us on AM 1230. But now they have a terrific FM signal, 98.5 FM. And Wyatt helped the engineer haul the antenna up the mast. Wow, that's pretty impressive. So, and I know our chief engineer here is probably marveling at that. So welcome to all of our listeners on KELY in Nevada, 1230 AM, 98.5 FM. And we're growing and growing. So, and we love to hear that. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to Kentucky. Pastor John on the line, and he's disagreeing with the truck driver who called in, Alan, who's heading out to Colorado. Hey, Pastor, what's up?
Not much, Todd. First of all, I hope, you know, God bless you and your station and all your staff. I really mean that. I have to respectfully disagree with that trucker, because in the military, one of the things they require you when you drive those heavy rigs, you wear ear covering so you don't lose your hearing. And second of all, the Canadian trucker, that is the only weapon they have to use along with the Canadian people. Because basically what they've done is they've taken their way, their right to defend themselves. So this is the only way they know how to respond to what they would consider tyranny. So to me, this isn't about psychological warfare. What they're doing is, like you said, Todd, is to try to get their freedoms back. Because, like I said, they basically, the Canadian government's taken their way, the people's way, the right to defend themselves against anything. So this is the only tool they have. And I just wanted to put that out there, Todd, and I'd like to hear your response on that. And again, God bless you and your entire station. And man, I am so glad you give a voice to the regular guy.
Well, you're kind to say that, Pastor John, and we're just regular folks around here, so that's what we do. To answer your question, you know, they talk about psychological warfare. Why don't you go into a public school classroom and take a look at all the little boys and girls having to wear those face coverings? Why don't you go sit on board an airplane where the flight attendants have now become law enforcement, judging whether or not you should be kicked off the airplane because your mask, your face burqa, slips below your nose? I mean, that's the kind of psychological warfare I'm thinking about. And again, I appreciate Alan and his perspective. I just sincerely disagree with that. And it just seems to me that those truckers, as you said, Pastor John, this is it for them. They have no other recourse. And I believe they are going to be able to facilitate change very quickly by shutting down those borders. Hey, by the way, KWAM listeners want to remind you of something. A Larry Elder, the great Larry Elder, the sage of the South Side, is going to be back on KWAM starting this week. 8 o'clock Central Time, Larry Elder gave KWAM a big national shout-out on his show last night. Again, 8 o'clock Central on the Mighty 990 and 107.9 FM. You'll be able to hear our good friend Larry Elder. We've got Grace in Georgia, Rick in North Carolina, and a couple of other lines open as well, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Peloton's best offer of the season is here. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Choose from a variety of accessories, like our cycling shoes, a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. This limited-time offer ends November 28th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer starts November 14th and ends November 28th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Young men, welcome back, everybody. And young ladies, old men, old ladies, Welcome, everybody. So glad that you're with us today. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Phones have been restored, and it's been so nice to hear your beautiful voices today. Poor Grace was going through withdrawal. I just saw her wandering around the hallway once, just holding the phone receiver, and nobody was on the line.
I had no purpose. I would say hello, but no one would answer back. It's like the Adele song. Hello.
Very sad. Jeez, Lou. You have a very lovely singing voice.
Oh, thanks. I think I'll stick to my day job.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, folks, got to tell you about our good friends over at AMAC, America's largest organization for conservative seniors. I love these guys. I'm new to the dance, as they say. AMAC is conservative through and through, and they have some great, great benefits for all of us seasoned saints, as I like to call us. Anyone over the age of 50, you need to go to amac.us/starns and check out what they've got. amac.us/starns. So look, we dodged a bullet in January. I mean, look, we stopped the Build Back Better scheme. We saved the filibuster, all sorts of great stuff. And that's because AMAC is in Washington, D.C., fighting for us, and we really appreciate that, and that's why I'm a member, and I hope you become a member too. By the way, you're going to get great membership benefits, AMAC discounts on hotels, travel, restaurants. I wonder if you get a discount at Cracker Barrel or Bob Evans. Oh, that'd be great. I got to look into that. At the same time, your membership is supporting your values. We talk about that all the time on this radio program, and that's why I want you to go right now, amac.us/starns. And start your discounts today. That's amac.us/starns. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Grace in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Grace, how are you today?
I'm just great, thank you.
Wonderful. What's on your mind?
I just want to make a comment about Whoopi Goldberg. When she made the statement about the Holocaust, one of the first things you said was, I want to say that I believe she's an anti-Semitic. And from what I heard her say, I want to know if you made that assumption or if you just know that she is. I think when she said it was inhumanity, man's inhumanity to man with the Holocaust, that's true. But she didn't understand the Aryan race versus black, white, yellow, red races. And, you know, I switched from Rush to you, and I've liked you more than anybody, and I've had great respect for you. But in due respect, I'm not a fan of Whoopi's. I'm not a fan of The View. But to say someone's anti-Semitic from what she said, I didn't understand that.
Grace, look, it's a great question you're raising, and I'm glad you called in. This is an accumulation of things that Whoopi has said over the years that she's been given a pass on. So this is part of an ongoing series of things she said about the Jewish people. And I do believe that what she said, I believe to be anti-Semitic. Now, if I said Whoopi was anti-Semitic, I may have stepped the line there, because I don't know her heart. But what I can say is the things that she is saying are certainly anti-Semitic, and that is not the first time she's said something like that. So if I called her anti-Semitic, then I apologize. I stepped the line. It's, again, we don't like to call people racist because, again, I don't know the person's heart.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, Grace?
It makes sense, and I'm proud of you for that comment.
Well, you know, Grace, every now and again, and it's usually about once a year, I make a mistake, Grace. And you
a man admitting that.
Just once a year. That's it. That's all you're going to get from me, Grace.
Well, that's all I'm going to give you, Tom.
All right, Grace. Well, thank you. And thanks for giving me a measure of grace. You see what I did there? A measure of grace. All right. Grace, thanks for the call. And look, I mean, this is who we are, folks. We're a talk show. You're not calling in to talk to St. Peter here. We make mistakes every now and again. But oh, by the way, her name is Karen. Did you know that? Whoopi Goldberg's name is Karen. Imagine that. What are the odds? But it's not the traditional spelling of Karen. It's a different version. All right, let's go to Rick in North Carolina on The Talk Station. Rick, we love that radio station out there.
We love your program.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm a pastor, but I want to go back to the phrase that we heard a little while ago, and bless your heart. I'm 73 years old. I've heard that phrase all my life. I come from a family of 7 siblings, and I'm the oldest. And all of us are still here. My mother's still here at 90 years old.
Wow. How many siblings did you have, Rick?
There's 7 of us all together total.
Wow.
I'm the oldest. And mother's still with us. She's 90. And dad passed away 2 years ago, January. But that phrase I have heard all my life. It's definitely a Southern. I'm Southern born and bred. And my definition of that, and I'll give you my wife's also, is like when someone is going through a little trouble or got a little hurt, a little disappointment, it's a phrase of sympathy and compassion. Like if something's happened and they're a little bit down, we say, well, bless your heart. My wife put it this way, and I love hers the best. She said it's a verbal hug.
Ooh, I like that. That's deep right there. That's so, you know, Rick, so here's how I wrote about this phrase, because it really is it's sort of like a secret weapon for Southern women, because it can mean, you know, what you just said, it's a verbal hug, or it could be a verbal slap upside your head. And only a Southern woman knows how she's using it.
Yeah, right. It depends on the exact circumstance, but I've often heard it many times when you feel like someone's going through a trial and you just heard the disappointment in their voice, and you say, "Well, bless your heart," or a verbal hug. I really like that one.
I like it. I will say this, Rick. I was at a Cracker Barrel a couple of years ago, and I stopped. I used to drink sweet tea all the time, and for some reason, I just, you know, I had to stop. But I still love my iced tea. I brew it myself, and I'm a Louisiana iced tea guy. For some reason, that's my favorite brand of tea to brew. So anyway, we're at a Cracker Barrel, and everybody at the table is ordering sweet tea, except for me. And I said, you know, I was the last person to order. And I said, well, you know what? I'll have some unsweet tea. And the waitress looks at me and she says, bless your heart. And I'm like, oh, no, you didn't. No, didn't. You didn't just bless my heart. I'm going to bless your heart. We had like a bless your heart off right there at Cracker Barrel.
Yes, sir. It's like I said, again, it depends on the phrase you're connecting it to, but I appreciate you. That's a phrase I've heard all my life.
Well, it sounds, I like your wife's definition, kind of a verbal hug.
I do too. I think that takes the cake.
That's good stuff. All right, man, cake and we're talking about barbecue and pulled pork. I'm getting hungry and it's not even lunchtime.
Boy, they got good barbecue down here.
Oh,
Let me tell you about my iced tea right quickly. My mother fixed the best iced tea ever been drank.
Really?
And it's sweet iced tea, but she'll take a real lemon and squeeze it and get all the pulp out of the lemon and mix that lemon in it. Lemon iced tea, sweet lemon iced tea.
Interesting. Kind of sounds
like
an
order. Slap your brain. It'll make your tongue slap your brains out.
That's got to be really good iced tea, Rick. All
yes,
right, Rick. God bless you, sir. Thank you for calling
you too,
in.
Sir. Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. I like that. Kind of sounds like an Arnold Palmer with all that lemon in there. So there you go. You know what the secret to iced tea? Grace Baker, you need to know this as a young married woman, because you're going to be brewing up a lot of iced tea over the years.
I already do.
All right, what is your secret? I'm curious to know what your secret is.
See, I make it healthy.
Okay, stop. No, iced tea is not supposed to be healthy. It's supposed to be good.
I use monk fruit sweetener.
Wait, what?
It's
a
like
monk fish?
No, it's like Splenda, but better for you.
No, no.
And then I use real lemon juice.
No.
And sometimes I put a little mint in it.
Oh, Grace, you've gone woke. Your iced tea is woke. That's not good, Grace. Look, let me explain this.
But when I go to Chick-fil-A, I get sweet tea.
No, look, Chick-fil-A is very good. All right, don't get me wrong. By the way, the dining room is now open at the Chick-fil-A in Germantown.
Really?
Yes, ma'am,
about
it is.
Time.
It is. All right, I digress. So here's what you do. You get your big pot and you boil your water. You put you got to have Louisiana iced tea.
I do use that.
All right, it's the best iced tea out there. Forget Lipton, Louisiana. So you pop that in there. I always put the 5 little bags of tea in there, and you let it steep. And here's the secret. You got to have Dixie Crystal. That's the Dixie sugar. All right.
Yep.
Got to have Dixie sugar. And what you do is you put that big old, I don't know, what is it, a cup of sugar? But you pour your sugar in as it's boiling, and then the sugar dissolves. So you don't get the sediment, the sedimentation.
Yeah.
Nobody likes
it. You got to stir it up.
Yeah. It's like a sludge, a sugar sludge.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that. So if you do that, you're going to have great iced tea. That's the secret.
There you go.
All right. You got to impress the in-laws.
I know.
All right, got to take a break here. Wow, we are so off. I have got so much audio to play for you. We're going to take a break. 844-747-8868. Thanks for the great calls, folks. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Folks, welcome back. Good to have you with us. Wow, CNN's all upset now. They say that Biden has to intervene in this Canadian blockade because traffic is backed up on the U.S.-Canadian bridge. The Ambassador Bridge, I believe that's the official name there. So they're very upset about all of that and are demanding that President Biden intervene. What is he going to do, invade Canada? Is that what? Man, these people over at CNN, the most profane name in news.
Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. They are really war hawks over there, warmongers. Wanting Biden to go get involved in a shooting war with the Russians, and now this. Unbelievable. So anyway, there's some trouble brewing in the NFL. So there are folks are very upset because there are not enough coaches of color is what they're upset about. And now Roger Goodell, who has been the NFL commissioner for about 16 years now, and that guy is just about as, I don't know, white as a snowflake. Roger Goodell is. And it's no fault of his own. The man's just a white guy of the Caucasian persuasion. So anyway, Goodell is very upset now, and he too is concerned. And he says the lack of diversity among the coaches is unacceptable. It's unacceptable, I tell you. Harumph, harumph, harumph. He's very upset about this. So Roger Goodell was so upset that he fired off a memorandum. And you know he means business when they're firing off memorandums at the NFL headquarters in New York. He says, we have made significant efforts to promote diversity and have adopted numerous policies and programs which have produced positive change in many areas. However, we must acknowledge that particularly with respect to the head coaches, the results have been unacceptable. We will reevaluate and examine all policies, guidelines, and initiatives relating to diversity, equity, and inclusion, including as they relate to gender. Because there are no female head football coaches either. Folks, whatever happened to the good old days when you would select a coach, you would select a football player based on their ability, not how woke they are. What happened to those good old days? Where were the good old days when you could have an Olympic figure skating team or ballet team where you didn't have to worry about whether or not you as a male dancer were going to have to lift a 300-pound ballerina in the air? What happened to the good old days when girls were cheerleaders? And they were waving their pom-poms and having a good old time, and nobody was saying, oh, that's sexist, that's demeaning. I mean, come on. Where were those days? So look, Roger Goodell, I think he's on to something here, though. Because look, we're all about being progressive here on the Todd Starnes radio program. And I have a thought. Roger Goodell does have the power here. He has the power to right decades, generations of wrongs in the NFL. You know, Grace, I was going back through the annals of NFL history, and I made an interesting discovery.
Do tell.
Not once in the history of the National Football League has there been a commissioner of color.
Oh.
Now, what sort of a statement do you think it would make if Roger Goodell, of the Caucasian persuasion, a man who's been on the job for 16 years,
yeah,
pretty lot of money, a lot of money in the bank.
Yeah, that right.
What kind of a statement do you think it would make to the rest of the nation, to the rest of professional sports, if Roger Goodell, the white NFL commissioner, were to stand up in front of America with Al Sharpton by his side and Jesse Jackson on the other, and maybe even Juicy Smollett for good measure? I wonder what Juicy's up to. Anyway, I digress. What kind of a statement do you think it would make, Grace Baker, if he stood before the cameras and said, I, Roger Goodell, am a white man, assaulting American, a man of the Caucasian persuasion, and I, Roger Goodell, hereby quitteth my job.
Quitteth?
Well, I'm getting biblical here, okay. Grace. Bear with me. I hereby quitteth my job, and I bestoweth upon the NFL the first black commissioner in all of NFL history, who also happens to be a transgender Filipino.
Well, that would right? check all the boxes.
That be, and then some. Bonus I mean, points. You're getting a whole deck of identity politics cards right there.
True.
You could be black and you could be a man, but you could identify as a woman who is a Filipino.
Good There's point.
Or you could be a feline. I read a story just yesterday that it's overseas, I think in the UK, where they're actually going to recognize a man who is a cat person.
Well, we've already got a wolf person.
And not that he just likes to have cats, like, you know, 30 cats in the house,
yeah,
but he is a cat person.
Cat. Oh, he acts like a cat.
You know, he acts like meow, litter box, the whole nine yards.
Ew. Disgusting. I'd hate to clean that up.
Hope he uses wet wipes. That's terrible. But again, great. Just think about this, though. I mean, Roger Goodell has the ability. You know what, Roger? If you got a problem, if you're saying that, you know, the NFL has a race problem because there aren't enough head coaches, then why don't you resign?
Fix it.
Nobody's stopping you. Just resign your job, and they can appoint a black person to replace you. But they're exactly. not going to do that because it's hypocrisy, and it's
money,
all
money,
about
money,
the money.
It's always about
all
follow
about
the paper trail.
And by the way, if you want to go down that path, all right, we're talking about percentages. Okay, let's talk about percentages then. What is the makeup of the NFL among the players? Nobody wants to have that conversation. And you know why? Because they should. It should all be about the best person for the job. Man, I could go for a glass of iced tea right about now. All right, folks, get out there. It's been a great day. Tomorrow, Phil Robertson. This is the Todd Starnes Show.